Today's episode is brought to you by The Gallery. Based out of New York, The Gallery is a curated collection of photographs from around the world. While we are all unable to travel, this is a great way to bring a piece of the world to you. All prints are made from 100% recycled aluminium, giving your wall that gallery finish. Right now, The Gallery is offering our listeners 15% off their purchase by using the code 15OFF. Go to thegallery.com. That's the, G-A-L-R-Y.com. So your wall will never be boring again. God, fucking hell.
Ooh.
It is hot. 36 degrees.
Sweat. Is it 36 degrees?
Yeah.
At least where I am. I'm sweating.
Yeah, well, I dripping. Can see you got your top off.
Yeah, too hot. Too hot. How come you've still got your top on? I'm surprised.
Naked from the waist down, mate.
Oh.
Hello and welcome to the Cold Callers Comedy Podcast with me, Paul Rich.
And me, Ryan Brannan. Every episode, me and Paul get together for a catch-up.
And we invite you to wear a bloody mask.
Put a mask on.
Properly.
You moron.
Yeah.
You fucking...
Oh. I mean, when you're wearing a mask, I can't even applaud the effort. Because if you haven't actually put it over your nose, what is the sodding point?
Exactly. You know, you think there's people that rob banks for a living.
Yeah.
They have to wear a mask. In the sweltering heat, it could be, you know, depending on where they are. They're holding a gun. They're nervous. You don't see them complaining about the mask, do you? You see them complaining about other things.
They can breathe out of that.
You can breathe out of these face masks, though.
I know. In fact, that reminds me of a little sign outside a bank that I did see.
Yeah.
It was like, wear these masks, not these masks. And the not these masks was like a balaclava.
That's good. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, it's you know, the sort of people though that are like, the thing was, obviously in America there's been lots of things about stupid people in America going, I've got a breathing problem, I can't wear a mask, serve me, you need to serve me, and just complaining.
It's against my God-given right to breathe.
Yeah, I'm an American citizen. I love how that's their argument for everything. When they don't want to do something, they just go, I'm an American citizen. But I was sort of, as soon as they said, you know, in England, oh, we're bringing in this sort of rule, you have to wear masks, I was like, I can't wait. I can't wait for the stupid fucking Facebook statuses, the moronic, like, videos of people in like, Asda just complaining about wearing a mask. You know, people sort of, like, hurling abuse at Lidl employees because they don't want to wear a mask. I couldn't wait for it.
I was on the community groups in my local areas just seeing people complain about shopping. I'm not shopping there anymore. They're not going to enforce it. Well, to be fair, it's not, like, they shouldn't have to enforce
they
it.
Shouldn't
you should
have to
be
enforce
doing
it.
Your bit.
Just do it. The same people who were like, I'm not wearing a mask, got down on like Speaker's Corner in London and stuff like that. The same people that say stuff like that were probably the same people that were like, I'm not wearing a seatbelt on a car. Why should I have to wear a seatbelt? It's uncomfortable. It restricts me.
Why should I strap my kids in? They can't play in the back.
Why do I need to wear a crash helmet when I'm riding a bike? I don't need to wear a crash helmet. It messes up my hair.
You say that, but there's most of the people I see on bikes in the road don't have helmets, and it gets on my wick.
Yeah, no, it does. I know what you mean.
Wear a helmet. Even if you're driving, you're being safe, sure, but you know, there could be a maniac, but like, who's coming up behind, clips you. Bye.
And the thing is, as well, I mean, more so with seatbelts, seatbelts and masks, it's not just about you selfish prick. Not you, Paul, obviously. It's not just about you. It's about other people. Like, you know, the same way if you're in a crash and you don't wear a seatbelt and you fly through the fucking window and like sort of smash into a lamppost or whatever, or kill someone on this other side of the street because you're flailing corpse like mashes into them.
Yeah.
It's the same with wearing a mask. It's about, you know, it's about caring for other people. And like, yeah, it may not be perfect. Yeah, it may not stop you from getting coronavirus or spreading it, but it's still a help.
It's a help because if it makes other people feel more comfortable, then just do it.
It's a bit of cloth on your face.
It's a bit of cloth. And, you know, there's enough of us out there who have touched cloth. Who know how important it is? Mate, it is so hot. I tell you, in weather like this, it's the sort of weather where you want to have, like, fruit. Sweet fruit, refreshing fruit, like watermelon.
Sugar.
Hi. Watermelon sugar.
What does it
say,
mean?
I don't. Well, apparently there's a. It's a Harry Styles song, in case you didn't know. And I have to say, it's very catchy.
It is catchy, which annoys me.
I'm enjoying it more than I should.
Yeah, it's annoying that it's catchy because I agree. It is kind of like I first heard it and went, "That's fucking dumb. He's just strung three words together."
to be fair, watermelon is also two words that have been strung together to make a whole word.
Yeah, there we go.
So you could say four. Watermelon sugar. Hi.
Plastic bag sandwich sofa. Plastic bag sandwich sofa.
Vinyl puzzle by.
But yeah, annoyingly, it's catchy.
I had to look around the room there to think of things.
I remember you told me you were looking up what people thought the meaning of the song was.
Well, it's kind of obvious when you look at the music video for it as well. I believe it's about receiving, perhaps giving.
Cunnilingus?
Oral sex.
Cunnilingus.
It does kind of linger. Like, it stayed in my head all day.
Fellatio. Cunnilingus and fellatio sound like two Italian explorers in the 14th century.
I don't know where we're going. Cunnilingus, where are we?
Oh, fellatio, my good friend. I have set a course for the northern provinces. We shall find the untold land of the Anos.
the Anos. Hey, Mario, get up here.
Oh, God. That would make a great kids cartoon show where the adults would get it. Kids
would go over the kids' head.
They would, but there'd be some.
Was it Captain Pugwash that had a character called?
Yeah, it was Captain Pugwash. It was Roger the Cabin Boy, and wasn't the ship called the Soggy Biscuit or something?
I don't know.
I don't think it was.
But there was a few other names that are questionable.
Yeah, they were always slipping in like phrases and stuff like that. Like, yeah, like Roger the Cabin Boy. and other funny things. It's been a very long time since I've seen Captain Pugwash. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Pugwash probably means something wrong.
Was there a Master Bates as well, or was that just?
I don't know, but there was a character. There was an actual character at the London Dungeon when I was there called Master Bates.
Well, he actually was a person. He wasn't one of the plotters of the. Guy Fawkes.
He was one of the youngest ones. I think he was like a messenger or something. The one we played in the dungeons though was different. He was like a soldier, and he was meant to be like the one who caught Guy Fawkes.
That just reminded me of a post that I saw today on Twitter. Yeah. I think a good friend of ours sent it to us actually, a link, who we may or may not be hearing from later in the episode.
Spoiler.
In America, on the USA, like all the news channels, they're you know, obviously we're the story here is about the face masks, but they're calling it the great mask debate.
And when you say it in American, it's mask debate.
The great mask debate. And no irony, they don't realize how bad it's sounding. I'll have to find a few clips and put them in. I think.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I should do, because it is funny.
Remind me to do that, Ryan, because otherwise that's an embarrassing post edit when I forget.
Yeah, you'll be hearing it now.
Now.
The mass debate now taking center stage at local restaurants.
It's 9 minutes after six now, and there's new video of a raging mass debate.
The mass debate in Georgia is getting ugly.
The great mass debate in West Virginia might soon be coming to an end.
This mass debate is far from over.
How many mass debates have you gotten into? Love to hear it.
But yeah, as Paul said, we do have a guest on our show later on. Yeah. He's going to play one-star movie review.
Yeah. Why did they give them one star? That's the title of it.
But, yeah. So you look forward to listening to him later on. In fact, it's going to be a bit of a thing, isn't it? We're going to try and get more guests on.
Yeah.
For the movie review. We were guests on a podcast called Why This Film, which we did mention a while back.
Back in the day with
Emily. And we're going to have Emily on here to do Why Did They Give It One Star as well.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense, because, you know, she's a film buff. Her show is about films. Yeah. And the guy we got on today, a guy called Sean Garrett, we just got on for shits and giggles.
Yeah, he's a mate. Yeah.
He's a mate.
He likes films. We like films.
You like the movies. Jitterbug movies. Yeah, so yeah. There we go.
So what have you been up to since the last spoke to you, Ryan? I know, you know, obviously the gyms and cafes opened. Well, cafes opened a bit earlier.
Well, yeah, but this is the thing. I mean, obviously there's the scare of second lockdown. What about the second lockdown? What about afternoon lockdown?
11 is lockdown.
But yeah, no, the gym, my gym in my building opened up. And so it opened up on Monday, so I've been in every day since it opened. And there's this thing that happens when you haven't been to the gym in 4 months and you go back and sort of like do everything the same as you were before. It fucking hurts.
Yeah, it does.
It's been 4 days and I'm in agony, absolute agony.
Well, it's been 4 days since you went and you're still feeling the effects.
Well, yeah, so the first day I did my chest and my back, that is just only just starting to ease like four or five days later. My arms, which I did the next day, and my shoulders are still in bits. and then I did legs the day after that, and I'm struggling to sit down.
Well, I commend you. My gym isn't as private, I suppose, as yours. Mine's a pure gym. I don't fancy going back. I don't trust people to clean their... I mean, obviously, I can wipe the stuff down, but the amount of people that still probably wouldn't.
Yeah, no, they don't give a shit. My housemate, she works at a gym. Well, you said pure gym, so she works at Gym Box. And they've got quite a lot of sort of things in place to sort of like, they have to sort of like, if there's a class or whatever, they have to set it all up so everything's evenly spaced, and afterwards they have to sort of put everything away and clean everything. But the kind of rule is that obviously if you use a piece of equipment, you clean it up after yourself. Is that the same at Pure Gym?
I mean, it should be that anyway. It should have always been.
It should
that.
Be, yeah.
But no, I think that's the same. But you know, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if the gym I've went to, but I know there's definitely been a gym that I've gone to where the onus has been on the person about to use it to clean it first. So therefore, it's up to you whether you don't want to catch anything. So you clean the machine before you use it, and then the next person cleans it before they use it. And I think that might be a better thing, which is a shame. We should be looking out for each other, but apparently it might just work better if we look out for ourselves.
I mean, in fairness... You know, if you put the rule in that, like, oh, you know, make sure you wipe down your area or whatever you used afterwards. You know, 10%, actually probably more, 20 to 30% of people won't bother.
Yeah.
Because people are dicks. You know, as we said, mentioned about the mask thing. So maybe that is a better rule: wipe down before you use.
Yeah.
Because. No, more than likely, the piece of shit before you probably sweated everywhere and then just left.
Coughed all over it.
I mean, people can't put the weights back. They're not going to wipe stuff down, are they?
That gets on my... Like, don't. I hate that. Well, this is the thing.
Obviously, you know, we're two men. Naturally, we're stronger, so we can lift heavier stuff.
Right.
But imagine a huge, you know, dumbbell or, you know, like a bar with like, you know, massive weights on it that's just left there. And then the next person who comes along is a girl or a man who's of slighter frame, you know, and they're left there trying to get these massive weights off so they can do their own exercise. It's just fucking selfish.
Mm.
Pisses me off.
To be fair, not to be fair, I'm the one who probably can't lift them.
Yeah.
Like when I see those big old dumbbells, I'm like, that's a 50 pounder or whatever it is. I'm 50.
Yeah.
Like, it's no way I'm getting up, even with two hands. No, with two hands are probably good, actually. But still, it's hard.
It's something you don't want to do.
No, not when it's not my workout.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
You're already exhausted before you've started.
But yeah, as you said, though, enjoy the gym, mate, because the second waves are coming.
Yeah, isn't it?
Thing is, I still think we're actually on the third wave. That we just don't realise it. I spoke to someone else yesterday.
Yeah.
That were like, I definitely had this in November. We had it here earlier.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it.
So
the WHO said,
ooh,
there is no second wave. The there's just one wave and it hasn't finished.
Yeah, to be fair, that is kind of how I feel about this.
Yeah.
I feel like a second wave to me would mean that there was no cases for at least 2 weeks and all of a sudden cases sprung up again. That to me is another wave.
Yeah.
The fact that there's been cases, just less cases, and then sort of growing again does scream at me that we never got rid of the first one. And
We record this, I don't know what it's going to be like when this was released, but as we record this, obviously Manchester is going into lockdown.
Yep. Leicester's still in lockdown.
Leicester's still in lockdown, and there's other areas in the north.
This is Friday the 31st of July. We released this on the 3rd of August.
Mm, so let's see what happens.
See what happens
in the next couple of days. What makes me laugh, though, is they've said, listen, we're going into lockdown, all right? Now, you can't go around your friend's house. You can't go around your family's house. Don't go meeting up with people. You're in lockdown. Of course, though, if you want to go to a restaurant or a pub, we do say you should, and we will give you half off.
The hypocrisy is a joke.
Oh, it's incredible.
On a plane, you can get on public transport, but you can go to the gym without a mask and cough and splutter on everything and forget to wipe up after yourself. But I don't get me wrong, you should wear masks in supermarket. But my thing is, it's like, well, what's the difference? It's a building full of people breathing.
Yeah.
Close to each other. Unless of course, they have to like tape up every other machine, which they probably should. So there's always a big gap between treadmills and whatnot.
Yeah, they've kind of, in my gym, they've kind of said, just steer clear of people. any machines that are too near to each other, they've kind of sort of like said, don't use this one.
I want to do that with my legs, innit?
What am I going to do? But yeah.
It's just, you're going to be long, mate. Why do you need this? No, I need that one next year. I just can't use it while I'm sat there. Obviously, you've been back to the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't really had an awful lot to cheer about, but I suppose I should ask, really. How's your week been?
Well. Here's Ryan's highlight of the week. Here's highlight of the week. Bought a scratch card the other day. Didn't win anything. Fun while it lasted, though. Might get another one. That's Ryan's highlight of the week.
His highlight of the week. Where'd you get the scratch card from? Like Tesco? Or whichever.
Yeah, it was Sainsbury's. It was nearer.
You know what? I actually won a Sainsbury's scratch card.
Oh, yeah. What did you win?
40 quid. I won.
Really?
I won on two games on the same scratch card. I'd never forget that. I was doing like a promo. I suppose you could call it a promo job in M&S.
Yeah.
So where I live, near a place called London Coney, which is actually where the Sainsbury's I ended up working for is actually. And I was doing a promo job as I was a food taster, except they called it that, but I'm not the one who gets to taste it. I let other people taste it. I'm an outsider.
Yeah. You're just standing there going, hey,
try this. Yeah. Of course, every now and again, I sneak one in my belly. Obviously, oh, yeah, up to lunch with me. unless it was spoil lunch, like a biscuit. Anyway, so I just thought, oh, fuck, I'm going to get a scratch card, see what happens. I never get these. Boom. Take one up. Win on one game. Win a tenner. I was like, oh, carry on. win £30 in the next game. I was like, what is going on?
That's great.
Yeah. And that fed the addiction, though, after that.
Oh, and then you spent £30 on them.
No, I didn't spend that. I think I got another two more, like, over the course of the week and didn't win. But
and you were like, this is shit.
I was still in profit, so I knew when the fun stops, stop.
And the fun did stop. Obviously, I did run. I can't at the moment. Pub quizzes. And one of the things was I do like a bonus sort of like speed round. And whichever team got it fastest would win a scratch card.
Right.
So I'd be going out and buying these scratch cards off my own back. I think the most someone won was like a tenner. No, because I did it off my own back. I was kind of like, it was my idea.
Right.
I like added it to sort of to spice up the quiz a bit. But yeah, I realized that, after 2 years of doing it, I'd spent like nearly like 200 and odd quid on scratch cards. And I just stopped doing it.
Yeah.
And everyone in the quiz would just be like, where's the scratch card? And I was like, you're not the one buying them. No, I'm the one that has to go and buy a scratch card every fucking week. And also,
and
I had that little niggle in the back.
I bought that.
Yeah. I had that little niggle in the back of my head where I was like, what if someone did win it?
Win big.
I'd be so annoyed. Like halfway through the quiz, they just stand up and go, woo! And then like sprint out.
Slide across the bar.
Yeah. Start going around drinking everyone's drinks and sort of like kissing women.
Didn't win the quiz. Don't give a shit. I'm a millionaire. That would annoy me. And I'd be like, so I did pay £3 for that. Can I at least get my £3 back?
Yeah.
Fuck off, mate.
I always used to make a joke. I'd be like, if you win, remember, buy me a drink. But yeah, I thought it's just not worth the risk. And also, it's costing me a lot of money. So I just stopped doing it.
Save it. Save your money, mate.
Exactly. Because
there's nothing more annoying than watching someone else have good fortune.
Exactly. talking of good fortune, how the road's been recently?
Mate.
When I'm driving in the car, I love the feel of the tyres on the tar. Mac got when a knob at tailgates and they fail to indicate, I make sure that they know they're a bull. Sack, don't get me wrong, I'm quite a nice guy, but if you cut me up, you're gonna die.
Move it, you tit!
I get really, really fucked off when I get tailgated. Like, on a motorway, and it's like I can't go any like faster. Well, I can go faster, but there's obviously a car in front of me, and you've got to keep two cars width, like cars lengths. And then, but the guy's right up my ass, and it's like, stop doing that, because I will slow down, and then you'll cause an accident, and then I'll get the car and punch you in the face.
You'll punch him in the face with the car.
I'll get out the car and punch him in the face with my fist.
Right.
Bare knuckle boxer in a past life, mate.
Oh, okay. I'll be honest, Paul, like, you know, hearing your stories and stuff like that, I'm kind of glad that I don't have to. Why did I say I don't have to?
Share a car with me?
That I don't drive anymore. Oh. Or share a car with you, yeah. Me and Paul have been on a few road trips before, and he's just, you know, he's constantly winding down the windows, leaning out, calling old people cunts and stuff.
Whoa,
like that.
I don't do that. I draw the line at that, especially the C word.
Move it, you dirty old bastard.
Yeah, probably more like it. No, actually,
hurry up and die.
I think I get the road rage from my mum, and she won't mind me saying that.
Really?
I have a great story actually from when I was a kid. I wasn't a kid. I must have been maybe 15.
Okay.
Something like that. And I just remember being in the car, in the back of the car, and someone honked at mum for absolutely no reason. Like they were just in a hurry and, or it was something like that. Or they cut the corner and nearly caused an accident. And I just remember the window was wound down already because it was, I think, a warm day. And my mum just leaned out the window and went, "Dick!" And I sort of just shrunk back into the back of the seat. I was like, I've never heard my mum call anyone a dick or have a bit of road rage and shout at someone. And it was just so unexpected. And the choice of the word dick I found quite funny. Like, not you effing idiot or you arsehole, dick. And I just found it funny. And we always joke about that still. To this day, we joke about that. It. And she won't mind me sharing that story, I hope. So, yeah.
I think my uncle has probably given himself like a stomach ulcer from like the road rage he's had in the past. Like, he's just always just pissed off everyone. Should we move on to our newest segment, which we are contractually obliged to do? Otherwise, we risk being injured.
Yeah, I suppose we should.
Fucking at me. Hello, welcome to another.
There's some popping going on in my microphone. What's going on there?
Sort it out! Hello, and welcome to another installment of Hardy's Artist Hats, where we test out every style of hat imaginable for their oddness and durability, innit? I am your host, as always. I am Tom Hardy from Peaky Fucking Blinders. And today, I'm joined by a very special guest, Tom Hardy from The Dark Knight Rises.
Yes, The Dark Rises. I was born in the darkness. You merely adopted it.
You fucking what, mate? Oh, right, yeah. Anyway, we test all the hats, and today Tom Hardy from The Dark Knight Rises is going to try out a bonnet, a lovely bonnet.
I think it will be a fine accompaniment to my ensemble.
Indeed it would be. But before we get underway, we've had a request in from the producers that we make it a little bit lighthearted, so let's have a little bit of a sing-song. Stop in the name of love.
Before I break your spine, I must say, Mr. Hardy, what a lovely, lovely voice.
Thank you very much. Dems aren't quite the lyrics, but, you know, it's we're going to let that fucking go, aren't we? Yeah, okay, so let's bring out the bonnet. Let's put that on your head.
Wonderful. Will it go?
Today, I've got a metal bar, a crowbar, because the cricket bat, which was barely used for cricket, has indeed snapped in the test for this. So I've got a metal bar, if that's all right. You okay with that?
It should be fine, yeah.
Yeah, you're a big boy.
Well, for you.
Are you flirting with me, mate? Because I just swing the crowbar. I don't swing that way.
Tom, take back your city.
So we're just going to go ahead and do this then. All right. So you stand still. Brace yourself. 3, 2, 1.
Have you done it yet?
I've done it twice already.
Yeah, I thought I felt something flick me.
The problem is, I don't know if that is because how sturdy the hat is, the bonnet on your head, or because you're just a fucking tough nut, mate.
I must admit, I am one of the League of Shadows, and I am exceptionally hard.
Right, so, Well, I suppose I better ask the question anyway. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being soft as a limp dick and 10 being hard as a raging stonker, where would you place that bonnet?
I would place the bonnet upon my head.
Do you mean the penis head?
But of course.
Right, so you would like to use it like a coat rack?
Yes, on a hat stand.
Right, that makes sense as well. So, it turns out the bonnet, the beautiful bonnet, is not a very good hard hat. So one could say, it's hardly hard enough.
Hardy's hardest hat.
How hard is your fucking hat, mate?
Why are we still airing these?
I don't know. I actually emailed Tom back after the last one and said, is there any way that the show can be anything else? And he just emailed me back a picture of him giving me the finger.
Oh, right. Flipping the bird.
Flipping the bird, yeah. Right. So I took that as a no.
I think that was good deduction there. I'd take that as a no as well.
Yeah.
He also sent me the image, the promotional image he wants me to use for it. So we'll post that in the week.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah. With the theme song, obviously.
Of course.
I mean, I had to write that. I'm not getting paid any extra for that, but I had to write that and record that because he didn't want to do it himself.
He said our payment is our legs.
As in keeping them?
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's...
Yeah.
That's fair, if anything.
Yeah. There was another guy there as well who said, what about their legs? They don't need their legs.
And thankfully, there was a guy that said that, you know, we're not for eating. So, and saved us from being eaten. He was a good Urukai. What a Urukai.
What a Urukai.
Cool.
Right. I guess it's time for to bring our guest in.
It is indeed.
And Well, it's you announced the segment, Paul.
Of course.
Just play the fucking song.
Everyone has a point of view. Everyone likes a film review. These are movies that raise the bar. So why did they give them one star?
This movie's a lot of bosh.
Yes, that's right. It is that time again for Why Did They Give Them One Star? The one-star movie review game. And today is going to be a little bit different because we are going to be joined by a special guest.
That's right.
A very special friend of ours. A good friend of ours indeed, Ryan.
Mm. Yeah.
You introduce him then because he likes you more than me. So.
Oh, okay. So yes, we're bringing you from over the interweb is our very good friend Sean Garrett. Hello, Sean.
Hey guys.
Hey. We have got you're our first guest
ever.
Oh my god, ever. Thank you. I feel so privileged.
They have been knocking on our door saying, please can we join your shop? We said no. And
we wanted
my
someone
friend,
of importance.
waiting for someone good.
Exactly.
And you arrived.
So, how are you, Sean? Is everything good? Like, is there anything you want to plug?
I wish there was, but being an artist in COVID means that the only plugging that's going on is usually in my orifices.
Yep.
Brilliant. Good. Awesome. We're actually sitting in our offices right now.
And I want everyone to know at home as well that even though Sean is plugging his orifices, probably with a thumb. He still took the time to review the show.
Because he's not pulling his pud at the same time.
He's not pulling his pud at the same time. He's got his hand free.
I'm a puppeteer, that's what I do, man.
Right, so in case this is your first time hearing at this segment of our show, what happens in this show is Ryan and I will read out a one-star review from a critically acclaimed film to each other, and the other one of us has to guess. Today's a bit different. So today, Ryan and I will read out two reviews from one film to Sean, and he has to guess what film we're talking about. Man. I mean, he gets two reviews. He might get it after the first one, which is great. although it's not as fun if he does for us.
Yeah, because we took ages okay, picking
noted,
it.
Noted.
And and then after he's guessed his film and hopefully guesses it right after two, he then reads out a couple of reviews for us. Ryan and I as a team have to guess the film. His two heads are better than one.
Unless they're ours.
Unless they're ours.
In which case, too many cooks fucked up the broth.
That's not how it goes.
Close enough. Right, so anyway, do you want to go first, Paul?
Yeah, sure.
Go for it.
One star. This is the tagline, Shawnee. Awful film, great disappointment. I walked out after the first hour of this film with the great reviews it had gotten. I was looking forward to it. Instead, I got a vehicle for Tom Cruise, who's an okay actor, except I don't dissolve merely his looks. The movie quickly deteriorated into action, explosions, shooting, jetpacks, vomiting, punching, snot, strangling. You get the idea. This was followed by more dizzying action. The basic premises of the film was fine, intriguing in fact, but what I saw was an action film made for lonely 11-year-old boys or Tom Cruise fans. Apparently they're mutually exclusive. As I left, I stopped at the popcorn's counter and the woman told me many people had walked out. It's amazing how this film can be called the best film of the year. By what measure? By the amount of money spent on its promotion? A big, big disappointment. Read the short story instead.
Hell. I love how he left the cinema screen, went up to the pop. He was like, he was on his way leaving, going, "Oh, I fucking hated that movie," and then went up to the popcorn woman and was just kind of like, "Have you seen that movie? It's terrible."
I think this was a woman.
Oh, there was a woman.
She doesn't dissolve merely at his looks.
So. Oh, I see. I dissolved merely at his looks. It could have been he.
Tough.
Yeah, we've got another review for you, Sean. So
it's
you don't need one. To guess straight away.
Same film. Different review.
I think I'm between two of Tom Cruise's movies at the moment. Maybe I can.
Well, this might settle it.
This might solidify it. Okay. All right. So 1 star out of 10. Hang it up, boys. Tom Cruise plays Tom Cruise in this sad, pale sci-fi product from the Spielberg factory of overdeveloped concepts. Not a scene went by where I didn't feel poked, prodded, and manipulated. So many plot holes. It's amazing this flick could stand up under its own considerable weight. While we do get a sniff of Blade Runner and Total Recall, most of the stink here is pure self-importance on the part of its cinematic creators. If Cruise is playing a character 1 degree different than the unpleasantly moody Ethan Hunt of MI, Mission Impossible, it certainly isn't obvious. Spielberg's direction provides neither awe nor wonder, and few, if any, surprises or mystery. The special effects were unimpressive, especially the much-touted fight chase sequence, much looking like it was lifted from a PlayStation 2 racing game cartridge. While this is the type of movie you want to see on a big screen, it's doubtful you'll feel you got your $9 worth. There we go.
Oh, wow. I think I know what it is.
Go for it, buddy.
Yeah, is it Minority Report?
Yay!
Ding, 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 ding.
I was stuck between that and War of the Worlds because that's a short story. And when you said that, I was like, oh, could it be War of the Worlds?
And interestingly enough, that version was directed by Steven Spielberg and starred Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
So, exactly.
So I was kind of in between them, but I think, I actually really like Minority Report.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Yeah, no, it's a great film.
It's one of my favourites, actually.
It's got a nice mix of sort of like action, sci-fi, and that kind of like dark comedy.
Yeah.
Like that whole bit where he's chasing his eyeball down the air.
Yeah. That whole sequence is great.
Yeah. Yeah. And the apartment with the string is also fantastic. I love that bit. Just preceding that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great film. Peter Stormare is the surgeon as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the thing, isn't it? There's a lot of actors in that film, so you don't have to just rely upon Tom.
Yeah. Or is it Don't scratch. Never scratch.
Yeah, stinking cold.
Yeah, that was, I think that's the first time I'd seen Colin Farrell in anything as well.
Yeah, same.
Oh, really?
And he was good in that.
Yeah,
as
I
well.
Think that was his big, probably his big Hollywood breakout, wasn't it? Obviously, he was in Ballycus Angel before.
I saw him in Daredevil before that and Phone Booth.
Was it?
I don't know if that was first, Sean.
I don't know. I feel like those films were afterwards. I feel like, so let's go.
I'm gonna... close after.
Are you IMDBing it as we speak, Paul?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I'll do it then. You leave.
I mean, it's not worth it. It was Daredevil. That was rubbish.
Okay. Right, so Minority Report was 2002. Daredevil was 2003. And Phone Booth was 2002 as well. So all kind of similar time,
to
be fair.
The voice of Kiefer Sutherland, no? Was that?
It was, yeah. He was in it at the very end as well.
You know, I never
he?
Saw it, so don't do that with me.
It's all right. It's all right.
You know what film is good?
Anyway.
Lobster. Yeah. That was with Colin Farrell. Great film.
Career is really... I really enjoyed watching his career develop because I thought he was just going to be an idiot, basically. An idiot in high-action films. But he's done so many interesting, cool films.
Well, yeah, he kind of... he's one of those like actors, a bit like Tom Hardy, who sort of appeared in Hollywood and was kind of like the wild man of Hollywood, you know, sort of like, oh, this guy's come over from like the sort of British Isles, who's like an absolute lunatic, drinking all the time and sort of doing drugs and stuff like that. And, well, like Tom Hardy, they've both kind of risen up above it, haven't they? And sort of.
Yeah, but he's always been I think that's the thing, like both Colin, I think this is what makes an actor good, is that they were true to their own beliefs and what they thought was good work, right?
Yeah. No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, Sean,
obviously rumours about Colin Farrell getting his way into Hollywood, but from Kevin Spacey, but who knows? Who knows?
I mean, it's a way in.
Not anymore, though. Kevin Spacey ruined it, didn't he?
Yeah. None of us can be famous. <as well. laughs>
Sorry, anyway.
Let's just suck each other off.
I've never heard that rumor before, Ryan. That's just be careful that, you know, we have allegedly.
Of course, it's a rumor. That's
why. Yeah. We're not saying it definitely happened because that's, you know, it's libelous, isn't it?
Yeah, we should make sure that is clear.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Okay, so Shawnee, do you have a couple of reviews for Ryan and I?
Yeah, I've got three, and I went for the more absurdity. I don't know if you're going to get them. They're quite short.
Okay.
So the first one, I'm just going to say that this film was made in 2007. That's the only clue I can give you.
Massive clue.
Yeah.
Massive.
Okay, so 1-star review. This is from Amazon.
Oh.
The title is Avoid This Movie. I watched this movie and then my cat died. Was that supposed to happen? And that's it. That's it.
Cheers, Sean. That's it. Ryan, any guesses?
Shrek the Third.
No, sorry.
Okay. All right, next
Puss in Ground.
It's got to do with work tools.
Puss in Coffin. Now, work tool. Okay, what's the next one, Sean?
Yeah, what's the next?
I didn't get. I got three different reviews for different films. Sorry.
What? No, it's got to be for the same film.
It's got to be for the same film, Sean.
Do you listen to our show?
I do.
This is outrageous.
I do listen to your show. I reviewed it.
That's true, you did.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't think I was going to have much time, so I got three different ones to choose.
Okay, that's fine. All right. Well, give us a little bit more of a clue about the first one then, and we'll see if we can... Yeah. Has it got anything to
this
do with cats?
This is a huge franchise. No, it's got nothing to do with cats. That's the great thing about this review. It's got nothing to do with cats. But it's a huge franchise. It's part of the horror franchise.
Oh, okay.
And it's got to do with work tools.
I mean, instantly, like stuff like Insidious and The Conjuring is coming to mind, but I feel like they're later.
Yeah, they were much later. 2007 is a good kind of.
Is it like one of the Final Destinations or something?
Ooh, closer. Not quite that, but closer.
Oh, is it Saw?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Saw 4.
Ah. Saw 4.
That's a review for Saw 4. It's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Okay, give us
another weird review for a film then. Go on.
No problem. I will do that. This one is, this film was in 1988, and the, okay. the title is Inappropriate.
Okay.
So, I don't know who's more inappropriate, but here we go. I brought this film for my three-year-old and was shocked to see how violent and filthy it was.
I tried to think what film this was. Any more short, is there, or is that it?
That's it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Okay, when was... Terminator 2 was around 1992 or 93,
five.
Wasn't it?
95.
95, was it? Yeah. I feel like Terminator 1 was late 80s. And possibly someone could buy it for a kid.
This was the beginning of a really good kind of franchise, and it had a very.
Ooh.
It broke movie history in the 80s by having a protagonist that wasn't necessarily your traditional action hero type. His career before that was just on TV.
Was it Die Hard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah. Someone bought Die Hard for a 3-year old.
I don't get why they would do that.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Did it say you?
It doesn't. It's an 18.
Exactly. So what? In what mind? In what world? It would literally have
die in the title.
Yeah, and half die hard. It's not and like hard. It's going to be an easy death. It's not like your fish died in its sleep. Sorry, kid. It's like we're going to really try and kill you.
And the word hard. Yeah, you give me one example where that's not, you know, could that that's not
inappropriate.
Well, they're just like, oh, you know, I loved moonlighting, and that was kind of one for the family. So
I thought it was a spin-off.
Yeah. Where's Sybil Shepherd?
Deep Throat. I thought it was about just someone had a very bassy vibe.
Yeah, bought this new mystery film. It's called Behind the Green Door. Wonder what's behind it.
It's The Wizard of Oz. No. Okay.
Okay. What's your next one?
Hopefully, this is a bit last more, more easier. Okay. This is a more recent film, so it was made in 2016. That fantastic year. Dark and Disturbing is the title for this. I watched this to review for my granddaughter, aged 8. That's all in capitals. It started out hopeful that it was going to be good. Then it kept getting darker, and then nude animals ended into the movie.
Is that it?
Yeah, these reviews are nude animals. Aren't they?
So when do animals usually wear clothes? That's what I need to know.
I guess that, I mean, most animals in cartoons wear half clothes, don't they?
What was the year again?
2016.
Nude animals.
Was it like the Jungle Book remake or something?
It was an animated film. You're kind of along the right lines. It's not Jungle Book franchise, but it's.
Okay, animated film 2016.
Was it live action animated or completely animated?
Completely animated.
Oh, right, okay.
And it was. The premise was. A country bumpkin moving into a big city.
I have no idea.
The main protagonist was a female rabbit.
Oh,
is it Zootropolis?
Yeah, Zootopia.
That's Zootopia, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, you know, I've never seen it, so I wouldn't have got it.
Great film.
Oh, sorry, Paul.
Oh, man, it's a superb film. Ah. Like that film, I remember putting it on because it was just sort of like on Sky or something. And it kind of the first sort of like half like sort of ticks away is kind of like a fun film about sort of animals, about being police and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, halfway through, it just goes bang, racism exists. And it's like, whoa. And it's so, so relevant, especially to now.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Oh,
absolutely incredible. It's on Disney Plus. So well, yeah, highly recommend that one because it is.
I will.
Yeah. If you haven't seen, what's the other one as well? Is it Inside Out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That one's a very good one as well.
Yeah.
I feel like those were the two.
Pixar ones are amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of Pixar films are incredible, in terms of story and making you feel it right in the feels.
I think it's the director, though. I really enjoyed John Bird's Incredibles. I thought it was a really good.
I still haven't seen number 2, actually. I need to see them too.
It's worth a watch. It's worth a watch. I feel like they left it a little bit too long.
Yeah,
but it was still worth that.
I mean, if it had it come it's, like 2 years after, then it would have been so much more. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's weird because unfortunately, at that point, you've got a completely different audience. Well, no, you haven't, because obviously we still watched it, but when you think like a whole different generation of kids have seen the second one, and like, wait, I need to see the first one now.
And you can kind of tell with the characters that are in it as well, the whole new wave of supers.
Yeah,
don't give it too much away for Ryan though, because he hasn't seen it. So
yeah, I haven't seen it,
and I haven't seen Zootopia, so I'll get on that.
Yeah, do it.
Let me know what you think. Both of them.
You son of a bitch.
Oh, man.
Dude, that's not very Disney-esque. All right, well, listen, thank you so much for joining us, Sean, and doing that with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you have any social media handles you'd like to sort of shout out to people to stalk you?
Jeez, I should, shouldn't I?
If you can't remember them off the top of your head, don't worry too much, because we'll put them on Twitter and Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, with a picture of you, a really embarrassing picture of you.
Yeah, you should do that. My Instagram is Sean _ le, as in French for the _ Garrett, which is ATT at the end, GARRATT. You can follow me there. Okay. I haven't really been posting that much because I've just been trying to reconnect with my family during COVID.
And that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
you mean you haven't been ignoring everyone in your household and just posting photos of yourself? How dare you?
Unbelievable.
I know.
That's all me and Paul do. We just send pictures of ourselves to each other.
In compromising positions. Sometimes fully clothed.
Maybe I can do that too now.
Sure. Well,
I meant with you, we'll invite you to myself.
We'll invite you to the WhatsApp group.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I wonder what the thumbnail's for that.
You don't want to know.
Right. You don't want to know. Okay. Just don't enlarge it.
I think I've got a good idea now.
Well, that was the issue in the first place, Ryan. But anyway.
Thanks you very much, Sean Garrett.
Thank you, Le Garrett. Sean Garrett there.
What a guy.
What a guy. Not an Uruk-hai. He's just a guy. And don't worry. I know you're getting worried at home. It is now your turn to play along yourselves. And we have got a cracker.
We do again. Do we want to announce the winner and the film for last week?
Yes, we do.
The film was... what was the film? Oh, is it in Bruges?
In Bruges. The film was in Bruges. And Daniel King... has won that.
Well done, Daniel.
Well done, Daniel.
We'll be sending your prize out in the mail.
which
expect nothing.
Airmail.
well done indeed for
expect
getting
nothing,
that right.
And you won't be disappointed. Yeah, so well done to you, Daniel. You answered us on Twitter, on Instagram, actually. So you'll get a shout out there. We're going to read you some reviews now. All right, so I think it's your turn to go first this week, Ryan.
Okay.
So why don't you go first with your review for this film?
Okay, so 1 out of 10. One of the stupidest films ever made. I saw this film at a free preview about a week before it was released, and 2 years later, I can still remember how angry I was wasting an evening on this drivel. The whole premise that these guys can't feel any emotion unless they're beating the hell out of each other is ridiculous and boring. I can't remember one thing I liked about this movie. Not the script, none of the performances, the editing or cinematography, nothing. Maybe this film taps into the current anarchist views and aspirations of whatever generation we're up to, but who cares? If there was a score lower than 1, I wouldn't hesitate to mark it on my ballot. not a fan, clearly.
Yeah, there are some subtle clues in there. You know, we're making this quite hard this week, I think, but there's a couple of clues in mind that might help you.
Go for it.
And if it doesn't help you, there's always Google. I don't endorse cheating. Anyway, it stinks. 1 star out of 10. Boring, quasi-philosophical violence feast. Yes, they wrote violence feast, not fest. Well, they might mean feast.
Maybe they mean
yumma,
feast.
Yumma, yumma, yumma. the plot is dumb. The surprise twist is not surprising. The dialogue is stiff and lifeless, with lines like, "What you're feeling is premature enlightenment." Furthermore, Helena Bonham Carter is really, truly miscast. How can anyone like this movie? I know a lot of people do, but I just cannot understand why. That's it. That's it.
I mean...
You're welcome.
I guess we'll see if anyone gets it right. If they don't...
Should we give them the decade it was released as a clue?
The decade. Yeah, what is the decade it was released, actually?
The 90s.
Was it the late 90s?
It was the late 90s.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say it was the late 90s, wasn't it?
And I've got one more tagline here.
Okay, go
the
on.
The comparison to Clockwork Orange makes me puke. I don't know if that's a clue or a hindrance.
No, I'd say it's a good kind of clue.
Yeah.
Kind of.
All right, well, yeah. There you go.
There you go.
So if you want to be like Daniel King and win absolutely nothing, please email us at coldcallerscomedy@gmail.com or tweet us or Instagram us, _comedy. And message us the answer. And then you too can win absolutely nothing.
It's a great prize because you can't really go wrong with nothing, can you?
You can't, because you should be happy with what you've got. And we're not going to start buying scratch cards for you and sending them in the post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, if you win, we give you the permission to go out and buy a scratch card.
Yes. And if you win, the scratch card
comes to
send
us.
Send us some money.
Yeah.
Maybe we should set up that Patreon, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for joining. Oh, that was the old door from the wind again. But thank you again for joining us for another episode. We have been Cold Callers Comedy, Paul and Ryan.
Yeah, we've loved every second, and we hope you've loved it too. I know you're not a fan of my catchphrase, Paul.
No one is.
I've got a new catchphrase for you.
Okay. Hopefully this is more reasonable.
So it's a very simple, quick one, which I think will be great on a t-shirt.
Right.
And it's just or a face mask. And it's just this. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You're garbage.
I don't like it.